talk to you about good news from a far country. Good news from a far country. And we read the passage in Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16, and then our text, Proverbs 25 and verse 25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Father, please bless the preaching now. Give us exactly what we need from your word. God, I pray you'll guide us into the truth of the scripture and that our lives will be different because of this morning, that it'll not be just another service, just a ho-hum time of gathering together, but God, you will work in our lives. If there's anyone here who's lost, I pray you'd save them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Brenda and I are about to celebrate our 40th year since the day we met on August 20th. We met 40 years ago. That just makes me feel old. It doesn't make her feel old, and she doesn't seem old to me, but boy, I do. But our relationship when we first met, as you've heard many times in testimonies, it was based on letter writing back in those. I know it's hard for people to imagine. There was no such thing as cell phones. Long distance calls, we lived about 45 miles apart, and long distance calls cost money. You know, kids today, they'll call somebody in California, no big deal, just call, everybody calls everybody, don't even think about it. Remember the days we had to think about it? Remember the days you had to, you had to dial and you had to think, okay, I've only got a few minutes, or if you were on a payphone, remember payphones? And I know they're still out there, but it just seems like a strange thing. And then we got, I remember thinking, wow, things are moving up in the world when we got a calling card and we could dial in like 15 numbers or something. You know, boop, 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 boop. And then it billed us for the long distance. Wow, that's great. You don't have to put quarters in, you know. And we were so, or dimes or whatever it might have been, we were so excited. Young people don't understand. In the land of texting and Twittering and Facebooking and emailing and all those kind of things. But most of our relationship was based on letters. By the way, it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. But the only thing is, when you get older and you want to find all those letters so nobody else does, and you forget where they are. And that's kind of where we are now. But we wrote letters back and forth, and I really looked forward to her letters. I've talked about it many times. We kid around about how, you know, I just look forward to her, and it had to get there. I mean, if I sent her a letter, I'm saying, you know, 2 days later, I'd better get a letter. And if I didn't, you know, she heard about it the next time I saw her, and she was in big trouble. But I just looked forward to her letters. I was so excited. And, you know, I was so excited about it, I could smell the Charlie perfume coming on the mailman, because I knew her letter was in there, and I was so excited about getting her letter. That's exactly what God's talking about. He's talking about good news from a far country. He's talking about it's not some place you just hear about all the time, but it's a far country. It's hearing that good news from a far country. It's like a soldier, and we just remembered 70 years since D-Day, and Brother Clark Bennett was talking about that and how that was a big day for him, because obviously he was just starting out his military career, heading to Great Lakes on that day. And you think about a soldier, especially back in World War I, World War II, and where they would just look forward, they would long for mail call. And getting that letter, finding out what's going on back home. And especially when it was good news, they wanted to hear about that. It's like a prisoner in prison. They long for a letter. They want to get that letter. And so college students, they want that letter. And again, it's not so much today because we text and we do all those kind of things. But you understand, good news from a far country. I think of Robin now, and because Elias is in Ireland for about a month now, and she said, "Oh, I've already talked to him today. Already Skyped him. Is that right?" And so he wanted to hear good news from the far country as he is in Ireland now. And so again, we can understand this kind of an attitude and this idea: as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now try to imagine in the Old Testament time, it'd be awful hard to get that good news. Okay, again, our young people don't, you know, they can't imagine. All they had to do is text. Okay, didn't have it. You know, many times it'd be somebody running with a message to that far country, or maybe riding on a camel, you know, to get that message or to get all that those messages out. And I think about, you know, wow, you know, so a battle, and we see this with David sometimes. David had his messengers, and they literally would be watching a battle take place, or they'd be involved in the battle. And David, of course, was back home, and he wanted to know tidings from the battle. Did we win? Did we lose? Were there casualties? And sure enough, as soon as that information is given, they sent a messenger, and he would run all the way back to where David was and give David that information. And so it could be good news, could be a victory. Hey, we won the battle. Boy, that's wonderful. It could be, you know what, we suffered some casualties or things went tough, but all is well. Hey, let me tell you, folks, from the far country that I'm talking about today, I promise you this, all is well. I know, you know, we're reading the news and we're finding out, you know, all these different things and, oh, conspiracies and this and that and a lot of negative stuff. But I promise you, the good news from the far country called heaven, everything's all right. Everything's all right in my Father's house. It's okay. Everything's good. All is well. And so, again, if you can imagine what a difficult way and difficult time it was in Old Testament to get that good news. I mean, it was a tough thing. And so Hebrews 11, go back there, Hebrews 11, and verse 16, it talks about another country. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. And so a better country is described. It's a heavenly country. And God, you know, He sent us good news from His country. It's called your King James Bible. And He sent good news from His country. And this good news is, it's okay. Everything's all right. Everything's right on schedule. It is? Boy, I thought we were in trouble. Oh, no, listen. God's got everything under control. Everything's good. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Amen. And God has sent good news from there. And I want to talk to you about four things that involve good news from a far country. Number one is the country. The country. Here it says it's a far country. Later on it says it's talking about heaven. And literally, God in heaven, who's looking around at heaven, who made heaven, who created heaven, who knows all about heaven, who knows what it's like in heaven? I mean, you don't even have to, you, and by the way, you can't even get on the internet and get the weather forecast in heaven. You can get it anywhere else you want to, find out what it's doing, what the weather is. You can look at radar of anywhere else. Huh? But God, who is there in heaven, He sent us good news. He sent us His word, and He's telling us about heaven. It's good news from that far country. And most people want to go there. We should, since we want to go there, we ought to be excited about good news from there. We ought to be excited about a letter from there. We ought to be excited about anything from heaven. You know, hey, I'm 56, or my 56, all right? I've spent 56 years here. That seems like a long time. I mean, I think back to when I was young, and it's hard to remember some of that, but 56 years seems like a long time to me. And yet in heaven, 56 years, it's nothing. The place that we are going to spend the rest of eternity, and you can't even say the rest of eternity because it never ends. The place we're going to spend all of eternity is sending us some good news. Sending us a message. Sending us a letter. The place, the God of that place, He's written a letter and He's sending it to us. He's sending us the Bible and He's sending good news to us. And you know what? It ought to get us excited, because that's where we're going to be for all eternity. I mean, it's true. When I got a message from my wife, and if she's ever gone away for a while, and I get to talk to her, and we haven't seen each other for a while, that's a wonderful thing, and I love that. But again, God says the place that you are going to be for all eternity, I've sent you a message. I've sent some good news from there. Have you ever been forced to watch somebody's slideshow? I mean, not forced. Remember slides? Remember when somebody would go somewhere and they'd take slides of it? Slides. Some of you remember slides. A lot of young people are on slide. What's that? It's the thing out in the playground. No, they used to put pictures up, and they clicked the little button. They go ch-ch-ch sometimes. More times than not, it got stuck. But anyway, and then you'd have a new picture, and then you'd see the next picture. And people would invite, they'd go visit someplace and see all their relatives or their grandkids or whatever it is, and they would show these slides. And people would get together, and they'd have popcorn, you know, like the teens are going to do tonight. Trust me, you're not going to watch a bunch of slides tonight. But these people are all excited, and we've done this. I've done it, not from anybody here. Nobody here has ever bored me with your slides. They're always interesting. I love them. Anyway, but you have before. You've experienced it where you kind of sat there going, you know, there's Uncle Clifford, and there's Aunt Clarabelle, and there's, you know, and you just kind of sit and watch. I got news for you. The what God has sent us from heaven, it should never bore us. You should never go, you know, you should be excited about that thing. I'm telling you, this is from a far country. Good news. What's in it? Well, there's information about the country. Amen. God tells us all about His country right here. You know, you ever plan to go somewhere and you go to the travel place and you get a brochure and you're looking at those pictures. Wow, I can't wait for this. Or maybe you rent a place or you're going to stay somewhere and they sent pictures about that. Oh, you're so excited about that. And you look at the pictures. You know, listen. We don't have to go to heaven and get there and say, what's that? By the way, Peter, what are these streets made out of here? We don't have to ask. We're going to be in shock. I mean, it's going to be the most beautiful thing we've ever seen. But we already know. When you see your mansion and you walk up to that mansion, don't walk up to that. Danger. But when you walk up to you don't have to, what's this? You're going to know. Because Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He's doing it. He's the one preparing the place. It's going to be wonderful. We don't have to go into this thing blind. We can go into this. We know why, because we have good news from a far country. God gave it to us. He gave us some information about the country. He gave information about how to get there. Amen. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. He gave us all kinds of information. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but a lot of information about how to get there, how to go to heaven. Nobody has to wonder. Nobody has to question that. Verse 12, it says, then at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. That was me before I was 17. That was me as a lost young person. That was me for my life as a youth. I had no hope, it says, having no hope and without God in the world. That was me. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What I preached on last week. Amen. We who were far off didn't stand a chance. Not going to go there. Amen. But we're brought nigh by the blood of Christ. It says in Ephesians 2, back up a little bit, in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus said, I am the way. Don't need anything else. In this day of GPS, amen, this day of TomTom or Betty Betty or Fred Fred or whatever you want to use, you know what? Jesus makes it very, very clear. I am the way. It's not the Baptist church. No church can get you to heaven. No kind of religion can get you to heaven. No kind of good works can get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. There is no other way. But again, you don't have to wonder about it. You don't have, it's right here. It's right here in the good news from a far country and tells us how to get there. And by the way, it's written by one who's been there and who is there. Amen. He knows all about it. Do you ever travel and you go to one of these websites? I can't Travel Advisors. What I'm thinking of now, that may be right, may not. But anyway, I go and I look at what other people say about it. You ever do? How many of you do that? All right, some people are. Some will never raise your hand in church ever. I will not raise my hand. Never. I won't. But by the way, when we're needing money for drives and stuff, maybe you're better off not to raise your hand. But no. Just put the money in the plate. But somebody who's been there, you want to know. Hey, before I stay at a place, I sometimes will rent a house, and before I'm looking at what the people say. You know, if they say this place had roaches and the beds were uncomfortable and the owner of the house comes in all the time and visits you at 2 a.m. and you know what? I'm probably not going to go there. Hey, but listen, God, He's been there, He is there, He knows all about it. It's good news. Good news. Some of us, I mean, obviously, you know, none of us are excited. Just preached 2 weeks ago about death. It's inevitable. We're appointed. It's appointed unto man once to die. And yet, when we recognize that the guy that you and I, as we read our Bibles, we don't really have to fear death if we're saved, because God in heaven has told us, here's what you should expect when you go to heaven. It's good news. Good news. And then I was thinking about this. The message, the word of God, the good news, it helps us to see it by faith. It helps us to really grasp. Because the Bible says faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, what is that? I talk about it often and remember so clearly as a new pastor in my 20s and not even been saved very long myself. And I remember going to a nursing home and this sweet little old lady, I visited her and I thought, you know what? I'm going to encourage this lady. I'm going to go and be a blessing, because that's what preachers do. And I walked in and she had cancer. And I walked in and I said, listen, I'm here to visit you. I wanted to talk to you. She goes, oh, I'm so glad you've come. I want to tell you, things are good. And I thought, no, wait a minute. Was this a misdiagnosis or what? Honestly, I had no clue. She's smiling, rejoicing, waving her hands. You know, when people get excited. And I said, no, wait a minute. I said, well, I heard that the doctors have said that you have cancer. You don't have long. She goes, oh, yes, praise the Lord. I said, what? She said, well, you know, and I thought, I'd like to know like you know. I'm not real sure. And she said, oh, she said, it isn't going to be long. I'm going to be in heaven. And I remember thinking, is this what the ministry is all about? Because all of a sudden, I got those things running up and down my spine, and I started, you know, how you do when your arms get those chilly things on them. I said, ma'am, I said, you know what? She said, do you know, I have more people up there than I do down here. I said, wow. And you know, I spent a little time with her and prayed with her, and it was like Jesus was right there. And that lady, she did go to heaven. She knew something that I guess I hadn't really thought about, because I hadn't been in my Bible as long as she had. I'll tell you what, you want to get excited about home? You want to get excited about the far country? You need to read the good news. Read it. I mean, it tells you about the streets of gold and the mansion, and it tells you about people, and it tells you about a family reunion that never ends. It tells you about fellowship that is so sweet. And we see it by faith. You say, I just don't see it. Well, I'll tell you what, when I walked in her room, I don't know that I'd ever really seen it, but when I walked out of her room that day, I saw it. And now, all these years later, I see it a whole lot better. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by, Naaman's there. Amen. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. That isn't right. Anyway, it is right, but I started looking around and I started thinking about who's there. But boy, the sweet by and by. You know, we've talked to Ronna and Jack's been struggling so much and he has pneumonia. And bless his heart. I talked to him about mowing the grass. I can remember Jack out here mowing the grass and killing our dandelions. Amen. And talked to him about it the other day. And, you know, we're going to go to a place there are no dandelions. Amen. But see, you can't see it. And all of a sudden we get all earthly and we get so attached and so rooted to the ground here because we're not seeing by faith what's there in the sweet by and by. Oh, glory to God. Number one is the country. The country, it's a far country, but it's so close for us. So close for the Christian. You understand the trumpet can sound and the shout, and we're gone. Number two is the contents. It's good news. There's a lot of bad news, but this is good news. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Go there, please. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Notice those good tidings. Oh, folks, that's what we need to do. Let's spend more time telling people the good news that Jesus saves. There's a lot of stuff to talk about in our world, but there is not enough talk about the good tidings. The good tidings, as was said about Jesus' birth, the good tidings of great joy. Amen? There's just not enough talking about Jesus. The gospel, the contents of this good news. It tells of God's love. I still remember, and again, you know, you think about these letters, and I remember the first time in one of Brenda's letters, you know, at first we had just met and we're starting to write letters. It's what you did back then. And I'll never forget the first time she put love ya. Love ya. Now, love ya, well, you could say that to your dog. I mean, that's, you know, love ya. Love ya. Love ya. Love ya. I remember the first time, but I thought, okay, that's good. Then it was love. Ah, love, comma. Boy, I'll never forget the time it was, I love you. Now, you might say that to your dog, but that was pretty good. I love you. Oh, but the best was all my love always. All. That means all those other guys are out of there. We started sealing our letters and writing around the sea. It's hilarious. I can't wait to go back, try to interpret what all the... We didn't write words. We just put initials or letters for the first word, and we had to guess what it was. But I'll never forget the A-M-L-A. Amla, all my love always. Oh, that was so good. Now look, listen, folks. Whew, it's getting hot up here. All through this book, God says, I love you. I love you. He says, all my love always. All my love always. I've given you all my love. I sent my son to die for you. It's all my love. Always. Oh, glory to God. For God so loved the world. All my love always. It's in the letter. It's in the good news from a far country. It tells of his love. It tells his plan. History is his story. That's what it's all about. That's where secular humanism can't touch it. Doesn't know anything about it. Can't explain it. But the message, the good news from a far country does explain it all to us. It's God's plan. Everything. It's all about man sinning. The curse of sin on man. And God sending his son to die and pay that price for man to be saved. And how man can live eternally in heaven. God, he tells us the whole plan. Don't have to figure it out on our own. Don't have to guess. It's all there. And he tells us in the contents of freedom from sin and guilt. Tells us that we're free. We can be free from that guilt and from sin and from the punishment of sin. It's like a death row inmate who's just waiting for the phone to ring for a pardon. You say, well, we're not that bad. We're worse. And the good news from a far country is we can be pardoned, not guilty. In fact, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, the contents. What a blessing. Tells of our inheritance. How many of you ever been there during the reading of a will? We won't ask if you got a lot of money. But you kind of would sit there and kind of wait to hear what Uncle Cletus left to you. I was his favorite. Uncle Cletus. Oh yeah. I was his and you're just waiting and the lawyer says, "And I bequeath," and you're listening, you know, and you're so excited. You know, that's what's in this good news. It tells about our inheritance. We already talked about the mansion. Look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, watch it now, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We're joint heirs with Christ. What he gets, we get. Wow. And it's all his. And it's all mine. You say, you often talk about a pond of chocolate at your mansion. Oh, that's probably minor. Probably a little thing, you know? It's probably just a small part because everything there is ours. An inheritance. Tells of home. Home. We love hearing about home. I hear people all the time that in fact, I think of Thelma Allen, and she used to talk about West Virginia, that's home. I remember when I first met her because of her southern drawl, just a sweet southern drawl. I said, wow, you just moved here? Been here 50-some years, hun. And, you know, I said, that's pastor hun to you. You know what? Where was home? That was home. Where's home? That's home. That's home. Amen. You talk about a family reunion. I haven't seen Grandpa in a while. Haven't eaten Grandma's beef and noodles in a long time. Whew. Oh, yeah. Heaven. It tells what's going on. It does. It tells us news of today. Before you check out Fox News, why don't you check out Bible news? It tells you everything. It describes our day perfectly. I mean, totally, completely accurate. Prophecy. God saw it. God not only saw it happen, God made it happen. He knows what he's doing. Tells us all about technology, everything you need to know about technology. But also look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Oh, yeah. God gave us that news. It's still good news because we are more than conquerors. It's still good news because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And yet the Bible does say we're going to suffer. It amazes me, any idea as a Christian, that everything, once you get saved, everything's just going to be peachy. That's not what my good news from heaven says. God says things might get a little rocky. God makes it very clear there could be some difficult times. And when you hear about things going on in other countries, by the way, you won't find that in your national news. Because they don't talk about Christians being persecuted. They don't talk about people having their heads cut off in other countries. That is happening today. They don't talk about the letters that I get from missionary groups that know of pastors that are being held in prison because of taking a stand for Jesus Christ. They don't talk about that. They talk about somebody who perished. The thought they actually, somebody said something about their lifestyle of being a sodomite. Poor, poor person. That's what's in the news. That's what we get to hear about all the time. Poor, poor, poor. They had their feelings hurt. But folks, let's be honest. There's persecution when you take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should never be shocked. Never be shocked. That's what's going on. But you know what? It's good news because we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And you know, it's happening exactly how God said it was going to happen. And God's news from the old country that's here on this earth, it's the news is, she's fallen apart. It is. Oh no, but evolution said that we're getting better and better. Really? You know, I look at my hand and see all those brown spots and the wrinkles, and that's not better and better. Not for the body. Check out your car. Check out my white van. There's rust. That's not better and better. Huh. Check out the parking lot. Better yet, get in this hole out here. See what happens. Take a chance. Amen. That's not better and better. Seems to me like we would recognize that everything is kind of falling apart. It does. But His Word doesn't. And it tells us exactly that's what's going to happen. Good news, though, that old country's falling apart, but we have a new country. Number three is the comparison. The comparison. Number one is the country. Number two, the contents. Number three, the comparison. Bible says it compares as cold waters to a thirsty soul. You ever been thirsty? Huh? What is it you need? Cold water. Some would say Pepsi or Coke or Diet Coke or nothing better than cold water. They say thirst pain is greater than hunger pain. Well, this thirst that the Bible talks about here is the result of a sin and guilt and everything else. And how do you know? Because when Jesus Christ had my sin on Him on the cross, what did the Bible record Him saying? I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. If you're without Christ today, I know you're thirsty. If you've never been saved, I know you're thirsty. Jesus said to the woman at the well, He said, I've got water. And if you drink my water, you'll never thirst. Amen. Amen. The comparison is like somebody who's thirsty, getting that cold water. We try to quench our thirst with all kinds of things: religion, good works, pleasure, fun, sin. We who love the gospel know there's only one way to quench that thirst. That's Jesus Christ. You see, water, you have to have water to live. Romans 1:16 says the gospel, the good news from a far country, that's the power of God unto salvation. It is the only way to have life. And oh, it's refreshing often. We can keep drinking. It's constant. John 7, Look at it. John chapter 7, verse 37. Just about done. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." It's refreshing often. And of course, the comparison is, it's a message. It's good news from heaven. And it makes us long for heaven. You know, there's Christians, sometimes I don't understand, we'll sing a song about heaven. And there's some folks like Phyllis who I watch her and she's looking somewhere. And in my mind, I think she's looking at the gate. And she sees back in there a little bit. You know, there's several people that I watch them while we sing. Sheila, I kind of watch Sheila when I talk about heaven, and sometimes she looks past me, which I don't blame you. But to be honest with you, Sheila, and Melba's another one, I got to fit. They see somebody when we start talking. Are you listening to me? They see something. They see more than just white tiles and a white curtain and a gray and red pastor, and they see beyond a little bit, because that's that. Reading of the Word of God. It's making us long for that. I don't understand Christians who aren't excited about going to heaven. I just have to think, boy, if you just read. In Matthew 6:10, the Lord's Prayer, we've recited it since we were children. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And God is telling us, live here like you're going to live there. Get used to it. Live here like you're going to live there as it is in heaven. Back to Hebrews 11. We're just about done. Hebrews 11. In verse 13, notice the progression. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." But watch what it says. Here's how they lived. Here's how they lived. "But having seen them afar off," having seen them afar off. See, to me, having seen it, it's okay. I've never been there, but I see it in the Word of God. That's our Bible. That's what I'm talking about. It's Ethel, and you know that John's there. It's like, come on now. I understand Jesus is there, but there's this idea, you know, when I think about heaven, I think of Jesus, of course, but I think of mom and dad and my grandparents and so many that have gone before. But how do you know that, preacher? Because my Bible. Because I have good news from a far country. I remember somebody slipped up one time, said, after one of my parents, I don't remember which one, after one of my parents died, they said, "By the way, how's your dad doing?" And I said, "Well, he's doing great." "Really? Have you heard from him?" I said, "Well, I haven't heard from him, but I know he's doing great." I said, "He's been in heaven now for..." "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, "Oh, don't be sorry. I got good news from a far country. He's doing real well." Amen. Amen. Come on. It's okay. It's a Baptist church. It says, having seen them, that's our Bible. But notice what else it says. And we're persuaded. See, some of you need to get in your Bible so you can be persuaded. Seriously. So you can be like the preacher up here. You say, he's acting kind of silly. No. Listen to me. You get that excited about things that you read about, and you can't wait. Oh, I can't wait to go to that ball game. Oh, I can't wait to go to the U of M and see that stadium. And you walk in, and it's like, oh, look at that. And you think I act silly? Persuaded. That's reading, listening to preaching. reading, listening, week after week after week in your home, at the church. And then what's it say? What's next? They're persuaded and embraced them. What's that mean? That means grab hold of it. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And confess. What's that mean? That means confession means to agree. That means I agree with God. Whoa, it's good. Verse 14, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. The key is, which country do you seek this morning? Which country are you seeking? Because the good news from a far country, the better country, the heavenly country, that good news is about that country. And then the clincher is in verse 15. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, that's the one they came out of, that's the old country. If they had their mind on that all the time, if their mind was full of that old country, the Bible says they might have had opportunity to have returned. Who wants to? I don't want to. That's why God told us, come out from among them and be separate. That's why God told us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He wants our mind full of the new country. That's where we're going. That's where you're going to spend eternity if you're saved. Amen. That's why, turn off the TV and get the Bible out and read. Oh, I don't watch bad things. It's not a matter of whether it's bad. Just make sure you get in your Bible. Get your mind full of the new country. Verse 16 says, it's a better country. Amen. Amen. The country, the contents, the comparison. The last thing is the commission. What's that? Pass it on. Just pass it on. Real quick, Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What's the commission? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Just pass it on. Pass it on. Amen? That's what we need to do. We have good news from a far country. Why wouldn't we share that? You ever get a letter from somebody? Oh, I want you to read this. Oh, this is so good. Let me read it to you. My wife does that all the time. Somebody will write a letter. Somebody writes something to her, and it's good. She'll say, oh, I got to share this with you. And she's all excited about that. Why aren't we excited about our Bible? Why is it, you know, and I'm not getting on anybody in particular. I don't know of any of this, but why is it we would rather talk about garbage of somebody's life instead of talking about the blessings of heaven? Why would we rather, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? How about, hey, did you hear Jesus is answering prayer? You know, why don't we talk about heaven? That's where we're going to spend eternity. Seriously, think about most of your conversation and ask yourself, wonder if I'll talk about all that when I get to heaven. Scary. Brother and Mrs. Chase, last Sunday night, they sang beautiful, beautiful song. It's what I thought about as I was writing this message. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. You say, preacher, how do you know? I read the brochure. Amen. I've been spending a lot of years in this old book, this old travel brochure. I spent a lot of years in it, a lot of time in it, day in, day out, early morning, late night. Spent a lot of time in it. That's how I know. That's how I know. I got good news from a far country. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.